Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 259 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with...
Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Bex, I remember the cat this time.
You did. Well done, you. You've remembered the bit of the end of the intro you're using to troll me.
Yes, of the intro that I put together. Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm good. It has been a long and fun day today.
Yes, you've had a busy day today.
It has been everything. It started off being told I was too old for a TV show, which is nice. by a very nice talent scout. And then it went downhill from there. No, it didn't. it's been a good and manic day, and I am desperately looking forward to this mysterious thing I have heard of called sleep.
Yes, this very elusive thing that you don't get much of. Yes. So the talent scout had seen your videos and assumed you were younger than you actually are. I mean, which is fair enough, because you do not look anywhere near your age. So
yeah, they were looking for 18 to 25 year olds. That's the second time that's happened now. And it goes, I mean, I find it quite funny, but I think it's very awkward for the people on the other end of the telephone when they ask a few questions and then have to go, how old are you? And then realize suddenly that they now need to tell me I'm basically a grandma. And I'm not suitable for the show. So, you know, I'm very flattered to get such phone calls. But I feel like they're probably never going to phone me again because they're too embarrassed by the fact that they were out by like well over a decade.
Hilarious. Yes. It's an easy mistake to make, you know, because you really don't look anywhere near your actual age. And not that I'm going to say what that is, but I'm not surprised people keep making that mistake. Plus, it's not like you act your age as they would.
But then neither do I.
So, you know.
Well, I've always lived by a very, very strict rule of life, which is act grown up for things that require you to.
Exactly.
Include health, finances, friendships, relationships, and so forth. And there is absolutely no reason to grow up when it comes to anything else. In fact, I deem that to be a negative thing.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. Yes.
Having fun is not something you should grow out of at all in any way, shape or form. And I think sometimes people mistake me being too old to care for me being young and confident. I was not like this when I was 18 to 25.
No, that's it. With age comes wisdom and experience. Well, experience.
And laziness and just lack of giving a beep, I think is the...
Yes.
You learn sort of when you get to my age, you learn that you can't please all the people all the time, so you might as well just play computer games and get some Lego and chill.
Absolutely with you there. So other than being mistaken for being much younger than you actually are, what else have you been doing this week?
Well, when I finished being flattered but also totally not cast for this TV show, I've been playing a few new to me games. So I was playing in the Crystal Castles tournament on Antstream on Friday.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Briefly. I always seem to briefly be in 17th place. place. That seems to be a recurring theme. And then everyone else is playing for the rest of the weekend. And then I look back and I'm sort of 20th to 40th. And
right.
The difference between me and the winners are like, multiple zeros. But I hadn't played. I was aware of Crystal Castles. I'd seen it around, It's been around for a while. It's on the C64. And it was an arcade game as well. And it's if you sort of take the idea of Pac-Man,
yes,
but you make it isometric, and you could go up and down on just lifts on the level and things, which could be slightly tricky to control. In the arcade, it was a rollable.
Right, okay, yes.
Which sort of worked more naturally rather than using the up, down, left, right keys as I was doing on the keyboard, because my controller refused to talk to the computer that day.
Right.
And you're collecting gems, and there's bad guys who follow you around and have different behaviors similar to the ghosts, but instead of hitting one thing and turning them to be vulnerable, there's different things for each one.
Oh, okay. Right. Yes. So you've got to get the specific.
There's a wizard hat you can pick up, then you've got a limited amount of time. You can take out a witch. There's these like caterpillars standing on their hind legs that eat the gems, but while they're eating, they're vulnerable because they're not paying attention.
Yes.
So you have to time it right to get them. There's a swarm of bees that had me screaming about bees a lot on stream, that you have to get the honey and that distracts them for a bit. And there was a bit where I died near the end where I was just yelling, "Why is a tree attacking me?" And then I decided I should move on to a different game for the rest of the evening because I was yelling at a pixelated tree.
Yes.
It was amusing for everybody else. Made small progress in Alien Isolation. I now live in a cupboard.
Yes,
IRL,
pretty much.
As the youth say, that I'm apparently now part of. living in a cupboard. Can't live in cupboards in the game anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've
what
done
are you
it
going
too
to
much.
Do?
the AI in the Alien Isolation is dual AIs, one that always knows where you are and drip feeds the information to the other one that controls the xenomorph, Fluffy, as we call them.
Yes.
And I've done too much hiding.
So it no longer works. They
Fluffy
find you.
Knows.
Oh, no.
So I knew I'd done slightly too much hiding in cupboards. We're only halfway through the game, and I knew I'd done slightly too much hiding in cupboards because I was just hiding in cupboards just randomly when nothing was actually happening because a noise had happened outside my house. A robin flew past and I hid in a cupboard. We got to this kind of level of fear. And I knew I'd done that too much, so I was taking to hiding in vents underneath the floor. And turns out the xenomorph fits in the vents too.
Ah, yeah, that's not helpful. Well, yes, there is a line about them. They're in the walls or something along those lines in Aliens. So, you really should have known that.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, I'm not falling for the line the game is telling me, which is that despite the fact we're halfway through the game and there's clearly more to come, the NPCs keep telling me that the alien has been ejected from the ship. And I'm like, well, it clearly hasn't, or the credits would be rolling. Mate.
Yeah.
I'm not falling for that.
No.
I'm not falling for that. I already fell for the ruse where I spent an entire stream doing a whole plan. We were trying to trap the alien, do this whole plan.
Right.
And then they backstabbed me.
Lovely, yes.
And I was very angry. I was very angry. There was a representative from Sega and I was demanding answers. I was demanding answers as to why I couldn't, later take them all out and why my character... I kept saying, why does my character keep warning NPCs that the creature's here? I need the human shields.
Yeah, shields. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they'll ever come back to the stream after that. I might have come across slightly more Sith than intended. I then got to another bit with androids, and I got killed by an android. Then I found a shotgun.
Okay.
And a normal gun. I've put so many bullets in one of those things, it doesn't make any difference. You have to have like a little thing to short circuit them, or you really have to just hide from them.
Right, yes.
And I was like, that's it. I'm going for that one. I've got a shotgun. I ran at it. I was all, here we go. I'm going to take it out. Yes, this is going to be the first time I kill one of these things. Ran in there with my shotgun. I shot it in the head a couple of times. There was two of them.
They're androids, so difficult to tell apart, I guess. And
I didn't kill one of them. I didn't even kill one of them before they both just utterly destroyed me. So the final kill of the last stream wasn't even the xenomorph. It was me doing a whole Leroy Jenkins moment, running in with a shotgun and immediately being horribly murdered.
Nice.
So yeah, that was a lesson learned there. Go back to the stealthiness. We'll go back to the stealthiness.
Yes.
The other thing I've been playing, which again, not new to me, not new to the world, but new to me rather, is Limbo.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's a sort of, it's a platformer, isn't it? I think.
It's like a puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of timed bits and a lot of move this to here and do this with this and then that can happen. There's a lot of repetition in it. You die a lot, brutally.
Yes.
I was not prepared.
It's very pretty in its sort of style.
Murderiness.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's very dark. It's all sort of black and white and done with, it's almost like they're cut out shadow things that running across this black and white landscape.
It looks very much like Shadow Puppet style. It has tons of shaders and mist effects and stuff as well. There's
it's beautiful.
Incredible sense of depth to it. And also the animation has a beautiful whimsical quality that gets across quite a lot of character, even though what you're dealing with sometimes are quite simple shapes. It's the movement that they've worked on that really brings it to life before you immediately die again. And it's genuinely, for a platform puzzler that's all in silhouette, it's very creepy and scary, and I like it.
Yes, not your sort of thing. So was that another one that they got to use to play as after Alien Isolation by telling you, oh, it's a nice platform puzzler?
They're forcing me to play Dead Space after Alien Isolation. Right. Okay. That's the next one on the list there. That was decided before I'd even finished Alien Isolation, is that Dead Space was happening, because apparently me being terrified is the most entertaining thing I can do. My viewing figures attest to this.
Yes, it's hilarious that your viewing figures are like double what they are for your other streams.
Yeah, you know, I think I had a little bit of a spike in viewing figures today because I forgot to turn off the jump scares, and of course,
don't
the science.
People use those. Yes, of course.
The science. It's the fact that they do the cheer to do the jump scare, and literally the message says, just testing in case. And then the next one's a, you know, a nice one, you know, with a little count or something, and it goes, sorry, not sorry. And I'm like, I'm not going to win.
They are mean.
They are mean and awesome. And I am starting to, some bits of Alien Isolation I'm starting to enjoy. Limbo, I'm also, despite the creepiness, I am enjoying, but there is a lot of me playing it where, you know, my commentary is normally quite good. It's normally quite insightful. I interview a lot of indie developers, you know?
Yes.
Limbo's an indie game. I can talk quite a lot about how it's put together, but a lot of it was just me saying, nope, that's a giant spider.
I was going to say,
a leg, nope.
It's not one for an arachnophobe, because there are giant silhouette spiders in that, which I learned very
quickly.
Yes, yes. It's a very creepy game. I think I've played it a little bit, actually. I don't know whether it was at a show or whether it's one that I bought and played a little bit of, but it is really good. It's just beautifully put together. But
it's very clever. The puzzles are simple, but not. They're brutal.
Yes, it's a really interesting 2D side platformer thing. But I very well worth picking up Mies Limbo.
Yeah, it definitely is. It was on my list of things to play. I didn't know a huge amount about it. I didn't know quite how dark it was, apart from the color scheme. And it was on my list of things, and it's my Tuesday evening game ongoing for a bit. I don't think it's a particularly long game, but I think it's just supposed to be a very beautiful game. But for the entirety of the beginning of the game, all anyone was talking about was wait till she gets to the bit with the spider. And now they've seen that bit, they're now just trying to convince me to play the next game, which is called Inside. Apparently it's even better.
Right. Okay.
Which I don't know anything about, but apparently it takes, you know, everything they learned from Limbo, and apparently the next game is even better. And this game is pretty impressive. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope it's less creepy than this one. I'm going to finish this one. We're going to keep playing it and playing it through. I'm very curious to know if they explain anything of this creepy world that they've thrown us into, because it is quite sort of morbid and whimsical at the same time, and fairy tale like. And I'm curious to know if they actually kind of explain anything, because there's no dialogue.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, it sort of drops you into it and lets you kind of run about and doesn't tell you anything. So
normally into spikes. I am definitely enjoying that one. Other things I've been doing this week include pining after the new Nintendo Lego set.
Yes. Do you want to explain what that is, apart from horrifically expensive?
It is. It is approximately 99% more expensive than I can afford. So just looking at pictures of it on the internet, it's probably where that obsession is going to end. But it was one of the latest announcements by Nintendo, was that they were making this NES Lego set. And to be fair, it's quite large, and it is a NES with a cartridge that goes into it and a small TV, and you turn a handle on the side of the telly and a level of Mario rotates in the TV, and there's a little Mario character on a stick that appears to play the level, and I think it makes sounds as well. And it is very, very nice.
Yes.
And
but horrifically expensive.
It is very expensive for something that for a Lego build contains a lot of flat surfaces.
Yes.
But it is the ingenuity of making it so the TV screen has a rotating, because making Lego rotate.
That's quite difficult.
You know, a little handle so that you can do that. Like they clearly put a lot of R&D into it. And it's caused a lot of Twitter activity, that one, which is mostly people saying, this is so beautiful, I can't afford it.
Yes. It's $229.99. It is in America, buddy. So, actually, for a Lego set, if you look at some of the Millennium Falcon things and that sort of stuff, they're sort of £100 or something. So, you know,
the biggest Millennium Falcon's best part of a grand.
He's best part of a grand. So, I mean, you know, they are quite expensive, some of those. So, I mean, it's not an unreasonable amount of money compared to other Lego sets.
For a branded Lego set of that size, no, it's just...
expensive, yes.
Nobody has that kind of spare cash, I think, at the moment. So we're all just kind of sharing pictures of it and vaguely sulking, I think is basically what's happening there. The other thing that I'm assuming this is on your list as well, finale of Snowpiercer.
Yes, this is on my list as well. What did you think of the ending?
I like it.
Yes, me too. And it sets things up nicely. Have you seen they've released a little trailer for the opening of the next season as well?
I have not, but I shall check that out later.
It does. Now, are we going to talk spoilers here? I think...
It's up to you. Why are you asking me? It's your show. Don't put this kind of leverage responsibility on my shoulders.
Well, I can put a spoiler warning in now and we can talk spoilery about it, and I can put some music underneath this bit. So if you still hear the music when we're talking, then it's got spoilers in it. So jump ahead.
Cunning,
do it that way. Hang on, I've got a spoiler jingle.
Spoilers.
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 Spoilers. Spoilers.
There you go. So, I loved the finale. I really wasn't expecting it to go the way it did, with the second train turning up and basically eating the back carriage of the first train.
Yeah. Once the second train turned up, I did clock what was going to be coming. I didn't expect it to be the reveal at the end of the episode, but I did clock, because there'd been so much foreshadowing in the last sort of five episodes or so about the daughter.
Yes.
It had been, you know, showing the photos and talking about that was partly being used to develop Melody's character, but I was looking at going, that's a film technique called foreshadowing there.
Yes.
They're specifically making a big deal of these photographs of the daughter and things, and then they had a flashback with the daughter in, and I was like, okay, they very much want this to be in the forefront of our mind. So I was, once I saw the second train, I did figure that the daughter would be on it, but I didn't think it was going to be the reveal at the end of the episode that she was just going to be like, yo.
Yeah, I hadn't made that connection at all, actually. I just suck at the foreshadowing stuff. But
I thought we were going to see Wilford, so I was a bit kind of disappointed. Then when it wasn't Wilford, I knew who it was, but I didn't expect that. But it keeps going in directions that I don't expect. And I love how they've taken the material, and they started, you know, the very first episode of this series was pretty close to the start of the film and the start of the graphic novel, from what I understand as well. And then in a very kind of natural way, they have slowly, utterly, completely and utterly deviated from the source material to the point where this is now a completely new thing that it's completely like another story inspired by the same origin.
Right.
And I like the way that hasn't felt at all like a jarring sudden change in direction. It feels like this is where it was always leading.
Yeah, I mean, am I right in thinking that in the film and the comic book, Wilfred is actually on the train.
Yes, the front of the train is completely different, and the relationship between all the characters and things up that end of the train is completely different. So the whole twist of there not being Wilfred on the train and the people in the drawers and all this kind of thing, that's all the TV show. That's right, all their own work. As far as I'm aware, that's not in any of the other materials. It certainly was not in the film. So they've gone off now in a completely different direction, because I was wondering, you know, would they make this as a single series type thing, because they were going to run out of story. And because they've changed something that fundamental, they could take the story anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is the little trailer that they released does actually reveal that Wilfred is on the train, and they also have revealed who's playing him, which you should already know because we've heard his voice already. You've caught that in one of the earlier episodes.
Who is it?
Sean Bean.
Oh!
You actually hear the voice
when she's splicing
the recordings together. It's like, that's Sean Bean. That's weird to get him to do little bits of... So, and that's the reason why they got him to do the voice there, is because he shows up. And certainly from the little trailer that there is for the next season, would appear that he's on the train, unless the clips that they were showing are some form of flashback, but I don't think they are.
I think he'll be on the train, because the kind of like almost deity like worship of him that has been built up as the one thing people are holding on to and stuff gives him an insane amount of power and presence on the show. He has an incredible presence despite not being in that first series. To not have him would make it very difficult to set up another antagonist.
Yeah, certainly from the trailer it looks like he's definitely there, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing him turn up, because it's unique to have Sean Bean not be dead by the end of a first season and actually start at the start of a second season.
He's come to life.
Yeah, actually come to life rather than be dead. So
that's the twist, isn't it? That's the twist they were going for. Yeah. That's the headline. Sean Bean comes back to life at the end of a series when you think he's been dead the whole time.
Yeah, I thought that was a just funny kind of bit of play for them for that. But I love Sean Bean, so I'm really happy to see him. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how he plays it. I like the idea of it being sort of a Yorkshireman that's the person that built this big train thing as well. It just seems quite appropriate to me.
And I'm assuming as well that the daughter is going to be indoctrinated.
I would suspect so, as well.
She's been sent as an embassy, one, because no one will harm her on the original train, but she doesn't look too concerned.
No. I'm
assuming that she's very much been fed the narrative that she was abandoned as he was, and he has formed a bit of a trauma bond as a secondary parent to the child, and it's going to be very difficult for her. She's not doing well, is she?
No, it's...
She has to make all the difficult decisions, and everybody hates her.
Yeah.
And series two is just going to be even harder by the looks of things.
Yes, I mean, she was supposed to be dead at this point as well, so you know, yes, not popular though.
No, and she's not had an amazing fun time for a lot of the series, or the, you know, the years that sort of preceding the start of the events of the series, and I feel like she's gonna have an even less chirpy time in season two, and I'm very intrigued to see. And I do like this completely new and interesting direction, and it kind of reminded me of Mortal Engines, I think it's
right, yes. The one about the cities on wheels that chase each other, yes.
Yeah, with the film adaptation that managed to rip out most of the intelligence and add in like 20 more action scenes, but look very beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's something about the exterior of the train and the one train eating the tail of the other that reminded me a lot of how the cities eat the towns in that giant metaphor that's very clever in the book.
Not so much in the film.
Yeah, less well explained in the movie, although the movie did look beautiful.
Yes.
It looked exactly how I thought it would, and that kind of steampunky type thing. But I do like the contrast in the train of how high tech and utilitarian the kind of actual workings of it are, especially up front where it's just clean and looks like it was all sponsored by Apple, you know.
Yeah.
And I like that, and I'm curious to see what this other train, this prototype supply train,
looks like. Yeah,
that's one of the things I want to see. Wilfred and how they're going to go with that character, because he's had 7 years to either become enlightened or very bitter, and I'm assuming by utilizing a daughter as a first point weapon it's going to be bitter. But also I do really want to see what the inside of that train looks like.
Yeah.
You know, has he built a war machine? Has he built something sustainable? Has his only goal been to catch up with them, and everything else has been sacrificed for that one goal, and actually there's just two of them because he's like got rid of everyone else on it just to make sure that it was easier to obtain that. I have no idea at this point what's going to be in that train, and that is very fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and the dynamic that when Wilford turns up, you've then got half of Snowpiercer that will be backing Wilford and half that are already upset with Melanie and the rebellion. So you've got these various factions that are going to side off on different ends. So I'm really intrigued to see where they go with it in the second season. I thought the first season was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. But I think that's going to be really interesting to see that for a second season.
Yeah. What else have you been watching and playing?
I watched the first episode of Cursed.
Okay.
That's the new Arthurian legend series that's on Netflix. It's by Frank Miller and Tom Wheeler, and it's based on an illustrated novel that they released, I think is now out, but it was like literally they were writing both at the same time. Tom Wheeler's written the screenplay as well. They created it together with Miller doing the illustrations for the book. It's essentially, it is Arthurian legend, except it starts a little bit earlier than it would normally, and it's told through the eyes of Nimue, who is the person that goes on to become the Lady of the Lake. It starts off with them living in this town. They're obviously magical creatures. It is a realm that has various kind of magical creatures and stuff in it. You've got people like Merlin that are still about, Arthur that's there. You've got some of the characters, and Uther's in it as well. So you've got these various characters in there, but very much configured in a slightly different way, with Nimue being the center of it, who is actually wielding the sword in the first episode at one point. So she doesn't know what it is, but her village is attacked by these knights who are streaming through the countryside and trying to get rid of the quote unquote demons that are running about, and they're just basically destroying all these magical villages. Uther isn't really doing much to actually stop them. So it's when Nimue meets Arthur, she manages to escape, and it sort of follows this story. It's also got Gustav Skarsgård in it, who is a great actor. He was Loki in the Vikings series, and he's playing a wonderfully bizarre version of Merlin, who is basically a drunkard and is a crazy kind of magician type character, and he does a brilliant job with that. Catherine Langford from 13 Reasons Why is playing Nimue. She's great in that role as well. I really enjoyed the first episode of it. I haven't got around to watching any more of it yet because I've been working through Hannah, which is, you know, this Amazon series.
Yeah, it's been on my list of things to check out. Yeah. I haven't got around to it.
I was exactly the same. It was on my list of things to watch and really hadn't got around to it. And for no other reason just than other things that get in the way. And I kind of forget sometimes that these series are on Amazon. I'll go and have a look and then scroll through and like, oh yeah, I need to watch the rest of that. So whilst TV slowed down a little bit at the moment, I've just been trying to pick out a show and go through them start to finish. I'm working my way through Hannah right now. I've done the whole of the first season. I won't give any spoilers for the second season because that's the more recent one that came out. But the basic plot is it starts off with a young mother who has essentially given away a child to this nefarious organization. She changes her mind. One of the guards at the organization tries to help her escape. Mother dies. The guard is now left with this child and goes on the run and ends up living in the woods with her. 15 years later, we then meet Hannah, and he has been training her in the woods to make sure she can protect herself. He's a very capable soldier, and he's been training her not to leave the area, but has been training her in hand-to-hand combat and weapons and all that sort of stuff. He's essentially created this teenage assassin, and she also has a few other abilities is based on the fact that, you know, she was taken from this facility in the first place. I don't want to try and give any more away than that, but I really enjoyed the first season of it. I thought it was really solid. Second season is one of those rare occasions where it actually gets even better for the second season. I love the setup of that. I can't really tell you anything about that without giving away what happens at the end of season one. So I won't go into any more detail on that, but I really enjoyed the second season of it. It's written by David Farr, who is the same person that wrote The Night Manager.
Okay.
And he wrote a lot of the episodes of Spooks as well. He's got a solid track record behind him, and this is a really solid piece of work, and I thoroughly enjoyed the whole of the first season. I'm about halfway through season two at the moment. It's well worth going to watch if you've not watched that yet. The other thing that I've been catching up on is Miracle Workers Dark Ages, which is hilarious. The first season was set in a sort of version of Heaven, which was run more like a kind of office, and Steve Buscemi played God and had basically checked out, and he decided that he'd kind of given up on Earth and it was probably just worth destroying it and starting again. And Daniel Radcliffe plays one of the angels who tries to kind of talk God out of this by proving that there is stuff worth saving on Earth. That was the first season. It's an anthology show though, so the second season completely changes it. It's set in the Dark Ages for the second season. Daniel Radcliffe playing the prince, and you have Steve Buscemi playing Murphy, because we're a family show, Poop Shoveler, whose job is with his daughter, who is called Al, played by, I'm going to get this name horribly wrong, Geraldine Viswanathan, I think her last name is. She is one of the central characters. She plays Al, who is Steve Buscemi's daughter. There's just some great bits in it. Like, there is a big convention for the people in his industry, and he turns up and somebody comes out on stage and does a sort of Apple-esque style presentation introducing the hole. The idea being that people have been pooping on the floor and you turn up with a shovel and pick it up and take it away, but he's come up with this revolutionary new invention called the hole, which so there's a sort of episode that follows everything going on with that and stuff. It's just various silly situations set in the Dark Ages, but it really, really funny. I am thoroughly enjoying that, and that's a Sky comedy if you want to go watch that. I think season one and two are both available all on demand if you want to go and find those. But that Miracle Workers Dark Ages is the second season. The first season was just called Miracle Workers. The other thing that I've been watching is I caught up with a bit more of Seven Worlds, One Planet, which is this David Attenborough nature series. One of the reasons I've been watching some more of this is I originally watched a couple of episodes because I interviewed Bertie Gregory, who is the cinematographer, or one of 52 cinematographers actually on that show, but he did one of the key episodes, which was set in South America, and that episode was nominated for a BAFTA. Very happy to say that when I interviewed him, he was BAFTA nominated. He is now a BAFTA winner, so I'm very happy for him for that. The South American episode is spectacular. They filmed a bunch of spectacle bears, which are the bears that Paddington Bear is a spectacle bear. That's what the bear is based off. They are incredibly rare to get shots of, and they managed to go and get shots of them, and also them how they go and collect fruit and stuff, and I found that absolutely fascinating. They also managed to walk along with a bunch of pumas using various camera technology, which are incredibly rare animals, and they were on the endangered species list, and they're thankfully seem to be making a comeback. But that is a just an incredible documentary series from start to finish, and it's called Seven Worlds, One Planet. It's on iPlayer if you like those nature shows. So I said, I think last week, it's one of those things where I don't really watch that many nature shows because I'm kind of don't think I'm that into them, and then when you sit down and watch them you go, why don't I watch more of these?
Yeah, especially when they're as beautifully shot as these BBC ones are. They're just stunning to kind of immerse yourself into, and it's a way of seeing amazing things on our planet, and I think at the moment people might need to see some of the beautiful things that are there. And you know that these are things that normal human beings could never witness, and their work to get some of these shots is phenomenal.
Yeah, the amount of work that goes into it. I mean, they, you know, Bertie talks about this in the interview that we did with him. If you've subscribed to the podcast, you will have it in your feed. It will be the episode before this. It's one of the behind the scenes episodes. If not, you can go to the website geektown.co.uk and you go to click the podcast link. You will find it on the website there. But he was fantastic to talk to. It's really interesting because we don't often get chance to talk to people who are that specialized in a particular industry. You know, most of the cinematographers, you know, are working on film or TV. It's such a specialized thing, wildlife photography. So it's just really interesting just to hear the amount of stuff that they go through to be able to get this footage and how much they shoot and what they shoot. And he was fascinating. So it's a really great interview. He's only 26 as well. And he's been doing this since he was 20 or 21 years old, something like that. So he's incredibly experienced. He's incredibly sought after. He's an amazing drone pilot. And that's one of the key things he does. Just phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal work. And that well worth going to watch. That's all the stuff I've been watching. The only thing I've been playing is Sims 4 recently, just because it's one of those games that they've got like 50% off deals on a bunch of the packs and things. So I was playing around with that. They've got a new eco pack out, which is quite nice. It adds lots of ecological stuff as a sort of extra layer to the whole setup. And I got that.
You know,
and
I've never played any of the Sims games.
Oh, they're great fun. Just being
I've played Sim City, but not anything since it turned into The Sims. It's been this strange kind of thing that everybody else really, really seemed to throw themselves into that I never really understood. Kind of like Minecraft.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm aware of it. I've seen lots of clips of it, but I've never understood the why. I don't begrudge anyone that enjoys it, of course, but I just don't understand it.
Well, I mean, I love building stuff in games. That's why I enjoy playing with it. I mean, I spend half my time actually just building buildings in the game rather than actually playing with the characters. I spend so much time that I just enjoy building things and uploading them and stuff. So that's always great fun. You could make yourself in that game, though, if you wanted to.
Is one of me not enough? I think one of me is exactly one too many.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have a little digital version of you.
Plus, I'd just fall over stuff and the entire game would explode and your save file would eat itself. It would be a very short game.
Yes, that is true. You'd have to make the character particularly clumsy. Anyway, that's the stuff I've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TV and film news, we kick off with renewals, cancellations and pickups. Three renewals this week. Well, two renewals and one sort of return. Grantchester, the ITV series, that's been renewed for a sixth season for those that like your ecclesiastical detectives. Yes, that is back for a sixth season if you want to go and watch that. We don't know when it's going to arrive. It's one of those things that they've said they're hoping to shoot from September until about January. So there is a possibility it may land in the sort of early next year slot at some point. It really depends on very much when they can actually go and shoot and how much longer it takes to do when they've got to do all the extra prep for the coronavirus stuff. So we'll see. But they have announced that it is returning. So that's good. Hannah, which I was talking about earlier, has been renewed for a third season as well. So I'm very happy about that. I'm halfway through the second season, so I'm interested to see where it goes. And the third thing was Derren Brown, who is the mentalist and not magic so much, but, you know, the guy that plays with people's heads. He is coming back with a 2-hour special and a new live stunt on Channel 4 at some point over the summer. We don't know exactly when yet, but it's going to be a 2-hour special, which is a sort of retrospective of some of his other stuff because he's been doing it for like 20 years or something. Then he's also going to have a live stunt on on there as well. So that'll be one to look out for. Are you a fan of Derren Brown?
I liked some of the mentalist type aspects of the stuff that he's done and some of the interesting ways of how you can, you know, like with a lot of tricks and things where you put an idea in someone's head, then you say, think of an animal, and they think of a tiger because they don't realize you actually just put pictures of tigers and sound effects of tigers hidden in all the media between the train station and the venue.
Yeah.
I like those kind of things and the fact he kind of deconstructed some of those things. Yeah, he's also the guy that likes to sit in glass boxes, isn't he?
No, that's the American, and I can't think of his name. I can only think of what Marcus Brigstocke used to refer to him as, the Git Wizard.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know that statement and use it accidentally against somebody else then. I apologise, Derren Brown. I appear to have accidentally merged you with someone whose career started in a similar place, and then they found lots of perspex and a love of heights.
Yes.
Can you tell it's been a long day?
Yes, I can.
My name is Trista Pyneton. I'm tired.
So, cancellations. We have Jim Carrey's Kidding series. That's been cancelled after two seasons, although I haven't watched any of it. I'm told that the second season kind of rounded off reasonably well. So I don't know whether that was pre-planned or not, but it's definitely been cancelled after two seasons. Briar Patch, which was a kind of detective series starring Rosario Dawson, has been dropped after one season by USA Network. It was from Sam Ishmael, the guy that made Mr. Robot. And I'd seen a couple of episodes of it when I was in America because I interviewed one of the guys involved with it. And it's wonderfully weird. And what's nice, actually, is I hope somebody does pick that single season up because it's an anthology series. So it works as one self-contained story anyway. So I hope somebody picks it up and it finds a life somewhere just as a kind of limited series, because it was really good, the few episodes I saw of it. And it's wonderfully strange in the way that Sam Ishmael's stuff tends to be. There's a weird backdrop to it that I think there'd been a storm and it had broken some of the fences in the local zoo. So you'd end up with this kind of detective story, and then every so often, like a giraffe or something would walk behind it.
It was just really bizarre.
Yeah.
The giraffe's head would just sort of hear it, and it'd be sort of like, where did that giraffe get that hat? That's the answer.
I suspect it's tied into the story somewhere later on, but it's not referenced other than sort of one reference in the first couple of episodes. It's not really referenced again, but it's used to sort of effect of just the, in the background, you'll see an elephant or a big cat or something walk past.
I'd love to see people's reviews of this that missed the first episode.
Yeah.
I just had no idea. Even that, or there's going to be there'll be a big reveal that actually there was no zoo.
Yes, maybe it is. I don't know. But it's particularly strange and weird, and I rather loved it. So it's a shame that that got canned after one season, and it's never been picked up over here, but I hope somebody decides to air it. It'll be a good space filler for somebody because, as I say, it's an anthology series, so it is a self-contained story, that one season. So that's Briar Patch. Paramount Network have scrapped their plans for a Sexy Beast prequel series, which they had in development, so that's now not coming. And USA Network have scrapped their plans for an Evel Knievel limited series they had with Milo Ventimiglia playing Evel Knievel. They're both being shopped around to other networks, so they may turn up again, but basically part of the coronavirus issues for the Evel Knievel series, because Milo was supposed to be shooting that in the intervening break between This Is Us seasons, and with the coronavirus shutting everything down, obviously they couldn't film anything. So that means that it got kind of pushed and pushed, and they've just decided, oh, forget it. It sounds like it's been shopped around with him still on board, because I think he's an exec producer on it. So it may still appear again, but I don't know. There's going to be most people out there that probably don't know who Evel Knievel is. But do you remember Evel Knievel? 70s stuntman.
Yeah, I know Evel Knievel. There was a lot of toys as well.
Yes, there were. They had a
little like motorbike
that you could pull back
with him and his suit and things. Yeah, you'd pull them and then you'd launch them off the side of the sofa, and your mother would yell at you for smashing the telly. Those ones.
Yes, those ones. Yes.
Yeah.
There was a series in development at USA Network for that. It's now not at USA Network, but it is still being shopped around, so it may pop up again. And Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to miss its August premiere date, which I don't think comes as a huge shock to anybody, because they were going to only start shooting again in August. I mean, we'd been holding out hope that maybe it might be they only had a few things to do at the end and it would sort of go out at the end of August and they'd be able to do it. But
no. Or they'd be able to release the first half or something. And, yeah. But yeah, I guess they want to do the whole thing in one go when it's all finished, or they've still got some shots to shoot that actually chronologically go in quite early.
Maybe. So don't know exactly what the reasoning is, but we know the shooting was delayed. So they haven't given us a new date for it yet, but it is going to miss its August premiere date, unfortunately. So the annoying thing about, of course, this sort of stuff is when one Marvel show gets knocked back, the chances are it's going to have to knock back some of the others because they're a connected universe and one thing can't come out before something else. So if they're interconnected in some way, they may have to move some other things around as well now, but we'll see. I mean, but then they may have had to do that because everything was shut down. So yes, there's that. In terms of pickups and advanced air dates, New Legends of Monkey, that season two of that's got a 7th of August air date if you want to go watch that. Dirty John season two, which is called Dirty John Betty, that is coming on the 14th of August on Netflix. They're both Netflix shows. CSI Cyber, which is a very cancelled show at this point, but the second season I don't think aired on normal TV over here, and CBS Justice have announced that they will be airing the second season in October. So if you want to go watch that and you've got Sky or presumably Virgin, I'm assuming it's on there as well, that will be landing in October. And I Hate Susie, which is the new Billie Piper series. It re-teams her with her, was it Secret Diary of a Call Girl, the show that she was on?
Yes, she was very good in that.
Yes, the writer of that with Billie Piper again, and they're doing this show together. 27th of August, that's arriving on Sky Atlantic. It's about somebody who is a public celebrity who gets her accounts hacked and compromising photos and videos leaked. So that's the setup for it, apparently. That's called I Hate Susie. That's coming to Sky Atlantic on the 27th of August. On to bigger news stories. Disney Plus have announced a new Star Wars animated series called The Bad Batch. It's based around the Clone Wars characters. It's from Dave Filoni and it is coming in 2021. So it's the same team that are behind Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars The Clone Wars. It is going to be following the elite and experimental clones of the Bad Batch, who were first introduced in The Clone Wars, as they find their way in a rapidly changing galaxy in the immediate aftermath of the Clone War. Members of the Bad Batch, a unique squad of clones who vary genetically from their brothers in the clone army, each possessed a singular exceptional skill which makes them an extremely effective soldiers and formidable crew. In the post-Clone War era, they take on daring mercenary missions as they struggle to stay afloat and find new purpose. That's the setup for it. I rather like the sound of this. I think that's an interesting group to pick up on.
Yeah, the animated Star Wars series is, tend to go down pretty well, better than quite a lot of the large screen things that have been going on in recent years. And things like Clone Wars sort of went up and down a bit in quality. Rebels just seemed to consistently kind of get better for the large chunk of it that I saw. They seemed to sort of find their pacing on that, and had the most amazing Sith rotating lightsaber thing in the absolute world. And I've got reasonably high hopes for this. I think it will take approximately 3 seconds from when they sort of drop a proper trailer for this for somebody to set it along to music from the Bloodhound Gang based on that title. but I think it'll be good. And I think it's nice to expand in this direction and pick up on these kind of characters. And they did have, in things like Clone Wars and Rebels, they had some of the wayward stormtrooper type clones pop up in those occasionally. And it's just a fascinating kind of other side that you don't see that much in a mainline bit of Star Wars media. That's normally the sort of thing you only see in the kind of extended universe-y type things shown in any real depth. So I think that could be quite cool. There's an endless amount of things you can make around Star Wars, and they are going to keep coming up with new ways of expanding that. And if the recent animated series is there anything to go off, then yeah, I think it'd be good fun.
It's the same team, basically, led by Dave Filoni. It's the same team that were behind Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Clone Wars. The Bad Batch as a unit were actually in the 7th season of Clone Wars. So Hunter, Wrecker, Tech, Crosshair are the main group. they also rescued a character called Echo alongside Anakin and Rex, which resulted in Echo joining the group as well, who was another kind of Bad Batch clone. So it's nice as a kind of interesting direction to continue that Clone Wars story on a bit and fill out another interesting little unique area of the universe.
It gives us a different kind of protagonist as well. They've come from a very different beginning than the central protagonist of the previous animated series, so it gives us a very different viewpoint as well. And I think that's always a good thing, because it means it changes things up. It stops them trying to do a repeat of what they've done before. And I look forward to this one.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. So coming 2021, apparently, that one, because the nice thing about animation is you can do it whilst you're in lockdown in places and not have to worry about sending people out filming anywhere. So that's good. So that's coming in 2021. That's called Star Wars The Bad Batch. It'll be on Disney Plus. And another animated series as well, this time over on Amazon. They've announced that Zachary Quinto and Kari Payton have joined the cast of Invincible. Invincible was a comic book from Robert Kirkland, who is the creator of The Walking Dead. So that's why Kari Payton is in there. In actual fact, Invincible, the story follows Mark Grayson, who's actually played by Stephen Young, who, of course, is also from Walking Dead. He's a regular teenager whose father just so happens to be the most powerful superhero in the world, Omni-Man, played by J.K. Simmons. Shortly after his 17th birthday, Mark begins to develop powers of his own and enters into his father's tutelage, only to discover that Omni-Man's legacy may not be as heroic as it seems. The new characters that these two guys are portraying, Kari Payton is voicing Black Samson, a member of the Guardians of the Globe, while Quinto will play Robot, an ally of the superhero Invincible. I don't know this comic book particularly. I don't know which one you've read.
I haven't read this particular one. I know various comic books of this ilk that like to go through and deconstruct the genre and look at things with a slightly more realistic slant. Obviously things like The Boys and Powers and stuff like that as well. I quite like things that sort of take the generic tropes of the genre and just mess with them. Yeah, I haven't read this particular one, but I do quite like things in that area. I think the trick with them is to make sure they are, when you adapt them for a slightly more mainstream audience, like putting it on Amazon, making sure that it's not so referential to other things that it has a little bit of a barrier to entry on it, which usually means they have to lean into very obvious superhero-y stereotypes. But I mean, based on the name of the main superhero's legacy he's trying to live up to, Omni-Man, I'm assuming that's exactly what they were going for.
Yeah, I mean, I find it quite interesting that they went with an animation for this. I think it's one of those shows that maybe if they'd gone for live action, it might have been a little too much like The Boys. So they went for animation so they could do something slightly different with it.
But, well, it also means it will probably, as tends to be with a lot of these animations, I'm assuming they're probably going to PG-13 it. I don't know what the comic is or what the comic was originally, whereas The Boys is obviously
very much 18. Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
So, yeah, they've still got more casting announcements to come, but they have got a few more cast in there already. Zazie Beetz, who played Domino brilliantly in Deadpool 2, is going to play.
She's great.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Amber Bennett, she's playing, who is the girlfriend of Mark Grayson, Stephen Young's character. Andrew Reynolds from Girls is playing Mark's best friend, William. Walter Goggins from Justified will be playing government liaison Cecil Stedman. Mark Hamill is in there playing the superhero Taylor Art. Gillian Jacobs from Community is portraying superhero Atom Eve. Jason Matsoukas, I think his name is, from Big Mouth, is playing Rexplodes.
That's a brilliant name.
Rexplode, his name is, yes. And Seth Rogen is also in there playing Alan the Alien, which sounds like a very Seth Rogen character to me.
Yeah, that sounds like they let him pick his own character.
It does.
And he didn't actually read anything beyond the name, and he's quite happy with that decision, is what that sounds like.
I'm fairly sure. We haven't got an exact date for it yet, but it is expected to arrive at some point before the end of the year, because it's an animated thing, so they've been working on it for a while now. We'll see what other casts they announce. We may get some more announcements later this week, because it is, of course, Comic-Con at home this week. Most of the Comic-Cons have gone by the wayside, but when you're San Diego Comic-Con, you create a large online thing instead. So it's called Comic-Con at Home. That's starting technically on the 22nd, although most of the panels are 23rd, 24th, 25th and 26th. A lot of panels on that. There's a huge Star Trek set of panels. Amazon got a bunch of panels for Truth Seekers, which is the new Simon Pegg and Nick Frost show. Utopia as well, which is their remake of Utopia, which I'm very, very interested to see. They've got panel for The Boys, panel for Upload, panels for The Walking Dead and The Walking Dead Beyond, and Hellstrom, which is the new Marvel Hulu series. There is one for All Mankind, for Brave New World. There is a conversation with Nathan Fillion. There is a thing from Cosmos Possible Worlds as well. So there's loads and loads of other stuff in there, but there's going to be lots of stuff at Comic-Con at Home over the end of this week to watch out for. So yes, if we've been a little bit light on news this week, it's because we're sort of in that tide receding bit of the tsunami before it all comes crashing down, I'm fairly sure, towards the end of the week. I don't know whether you're going to sit and watch any of this. I will probably sit and watch a few of these panels, I suspect.
I would love to, and I love the fact that they've brought the amount of stuff online that they have, and I think it's a brilliant idea. I think we need something like this to look forward to and to still have the closest we can to a Comic-Con this year. So yeah. I think it's awesome that with such short notice they've managed to put together such an impressive list of people and panels. So I will try to. My own schedule is insanely hectic, but yes, I will try to catch bits and pieces of it in between.
Yes, we will, of course, if there's news that comes out of those panels, we will, of course, be distilling those news across onto the website. So you'll be able to find stuff over on geektown.co.uk as well. So that's all the stuff for this week. Now we have some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have In the Long Run returning with Idris Elba for its third season. That's on Sky One on the 23rd of July at 10 p.m. Then we have Katie Keene, the one season of the Riverdale spin-off-ish. That is coming to BBC iPlayer. That's on the 25th of July. You can catch that. And it's already been cancelled, but if you want to see the one and only season, it's there. Also on iPlayer / BBC Three, but iPlayer, basically. Motherland Fort Salem, which comes on the 26th of July from 6 a.m. is set in an alternate America where witches ended their persecution by cutting a deal with the government to fight for their country. Motherland Fort Salem follows three young women from their training to deployment as they fight terrorist threats with supernatural tactics. I think that sounds like it could be quite good fun. It was a free film series, I think. So, I mean, it's going to be very teen drama-y, but I think it could be quite good.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Yes, neither do I, other than that, basically.
Is it based on anything in particular, or is this one that was the concept itself was just put together for this show?
I don't think so.
One of those ones where you're like, surely that was a comic book first.
I don't think it was, actually. I think it was invented for a TV show, but it does sound like it should have been a comic book beforehand. Looks like it was an original story. So
yeah, that sounds quite interesting then. I think we've had a few supernatural type shows wrap up, so maybe this could be another one to fill that void.
Yeah, and it all going to be on iPlayer as well, so that will be one that everybody can go and watch if they like. Good Girls Season 3, that lands on the 26th of July. That was very funny, that it's a comedy about three suburban mums that turn into criminals, and it's got Christina Hendricks in it. It is very, very funny, that. Finally, we have air dates for SWAT and MacGyver. MacGyver starts on Sky One for Season 4 on the 26th of July at 8 p.m. That is followed by SWAT Season 3 on the 26th of July at 9 p.m. Been a long time coming, those, but they're finally here. Prodigal Son, that is the serial killer drama with Tom Payne and Michael Sheen, which looks fantastic. That is coming on Sky One on the 28th of July at 9 p.m. I'm very much looking forward to that one. Coroner Season 2, that comes to Sky Witness on the 29th of July at 9 p.m. And Fear the Walking Dead Season 5 comes to Amazon Prime. I know it's already aired on AMC, but it comes to Amazon Prime on the 29th of July if you want to go and watch that and catch up with your Walking Dead zombies. So that is everything for this week. Where can people find you if they want more information and go and see you?
I mostly live in the land of Twitch. It's all blurring into one, but yes, Generally I'm streaming on Twitch 7 times a week at the moment, and we hang out both in the daytime and in the evenings. We do a mixture of just chatting streams for anyone who is working from home or or furloughed, you can come and hang out and we just talk about a whole load of random geek nonsense and go off on all kinds of tangents and just generally hang out and have a laugh. And we play games in the evening, as I've mentioned, Alien Isolation on the Saturdays, Limbo on the Tuesdays, and retro games on the Fridays that I let you guys choose. So that's all good fun. You can also find me as Tristabytes on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a load of content over on YouTube.
Yes, so go and check those out. And if you're a fan of retro games, Antstream as well, because you've got a discount code for that, haven't you?
I do at the moment, yes. I've been working with the lovely guys over at Antstream. They are a streaming service for retro games, so things like the Speccy, the Atari, the Amiga, the C64, and arcade games. They've got, I think it's 1,070 something, but it goes up every week. And wow. My name is a 50% off code for the year, but you can do that monthly and cancel at any time. So it's 50% off for as much time as you want for up to a year.
Awesome. If you're into retro gaming, definitely worth going to do that, I think. And that's antstream.com, I'm assuming?
Yep, it is. Or if people want to find me on social media and things, I've got links to it everywhere, because I'm very, very proud of the fact that my name is a discount code. I think that's a sign that I've made it.
Or you've been discounted.
Well, fine. You could put it like that, and then they never spoke again.
So for other people as well, you could go and check out Matt over at entertainmenttalk.org for a lot more podcasts over there. And for us, if you want to visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week, you can see all the latest air date information and lots more TV news. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk, leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We will see you with a post Comic Con show next week, so there should be lots and lots of Comic Con news, hopefully. We'll see what happens, but we will see you then. Bye-bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.